We've been looking at this the last few Sunday mornings, that I think the most important thing that we need, more than the answer to any prayer, more than that, is just to see Him. I think, as Tozer said, and we've been reading his quote, that the most important thing about us is what we think about when we think about God. Do we have an intimate, personal connection with Him? Have we seen Him in a real way that goes beyond just the Sunday school booklets, to where we have seen the face of love? We have seen the face of holiness. We have seen the glory of our Creator in its totality, in the awesomeness of it. You see, when we truly begin to see God, it changes who we are. And we've been looking at the example of that in Isaiah chapter 6, which we're going to continue today. So let's look at Isaiah's experience and begin to bring that into our own experience and pray that God would do the same thing with us as we respond to Him. Isaiah 6, verse 1 says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two they covered their face. With two He covered His feet. And with two He flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory.' And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of Him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for.' And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, send me.' And He said, 'Go and say to this people, keep on hearing and do not understand, keep on seeing but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and the ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts, and they turn and they are healed.'" Today, I think that same opportunity comes to us, that just as Isaiah received a glimpse of God, I believe that God desires to reveal Himself to each one of us. But we need to respond, and we need to be willing to see. It's kind of a circle there, and we'll talk about this next week, that there are those that will not see. That we see, but we just refuse to accept it. We hear, but we will not let it make a difference in our heart. Our heart becomes hardened. But I want us to know that if we will soften our hearts, if we will begin to open our eyes and say, "God, let me see You," whatever that means whatever cost that requires of me, I'm willing to face that, then we will see Him high and lifted up. We need to see Him, first of all, sitting on the throne. See, you cannot see Him anywhere else. See, we want to see Him in ways that make it easy on us. We want Him to just be, like we sang about, that friend. It's okay to see Him as a friend, But can we see him as king? Are we willing to see him as holy, as Lord of our life? That means he has all authority, that he is not someone that I control and I manipulate, but I am willing to bend the knee and say, you are Lord God, that you are the last word in my life. Now, we say that, but I'm talking about truly committing to it and walking in that. There is freedom in that. So many times we're afraid to do that because we think that we will lose. And yet in not doing it is where we actually lose the potential identity that God wants to put within us. But it says that not only did he see him high and lifted up, but we need to be willing to respond as Isaiah did when he said, woe is me. In other words, he bowed down and said, God, I am nothing. I am willing to repent. I am unclean. Those around me are unclean. I willingly fall before you, acknowledging my brokenness. Are we willing to break before God? If we are going to ever experience that transformation and experience the glory of God, we have got to be willing to fall and break before God and offer up our repentance to him. Of course, God's response to repentance is the awesome thing that we cannot do ourselves. But when we repent, and this is what the world doesn't understand. See, to repent means to say that someone else knows better than you. And that is the foundational sin of the world. Because from the very beginning, that was the sin that Adam and Eve were deceived into taking. That why would God tell you to do that? You know better. Doesn't that seem silly? Doesn't that fruit look nice to you? Why would he tell you not to? I think he's just trying to hold you back. And that is the core of all of our sin, that we all eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that I know what's right, and God, who are you to tell me what's right and wrong? And even I'll listen to some of the things that you say if I think that they're right. And see, we're not willing to say, God, no, whether I think that's right or whether I understand why you said not to do that or not, it doesn't matter. I'm just acknowledging that you're the one. When we acknowledge that you're the one, God, that tells me what's right and wrong, then it says that he comes in and touches us. It is the coal of the altar from the cross of Jesus that he comes in and heals us. That he comes in and covers all of our guilt and shame and all of that brokenness and loneliness and frustration that comes from trying to lead our own lives, that determining ourselves what's right and wrong, that really breaks us. You see, it dries us up and empties us when we think that we will do our own thing. We don't realize that it's like being out in the desert and eating nothing but chips. That just dehydrates us. Oh, they taste good while we're eating them, but we don't realize what it's doing to us, that it's killing us. We seek the things that we want in life, and in that pursuit of those things, we are absolutely drying up the very potential of glory that God has in us. But if we will yield to him, he will touch us. He will reignite us and put within us his purpose. And it says that he cleanses us, he atones for us, he redeems us, he reconciles us, he gives us a new purpose, a new joy that does not last just for the moment, but that when Jesus touches us and we allow him to transform us, there is a purpose that goes beyond this life. And when he was healed, and when he was touched, it says that then he heard the voice of the Lord. And that brings us to today. If you have allowed God to touch your heart today, if you will allow God to transform you through the work of Jesus on the cross, you will see the beauty of what God has. You will see the beauty of the plan that God has for this whole world. Because, see, God is not a God looking to condemn us, looking to just hold us over the fire and waiting to punish us. He says, I want you to see my plan for this world that I had from the very beginning that has been twisted by sin. You see, we live in a broken world, and we have plans, and we can imagine kind of how we want to remake the world to make it better. But God says, do you not understand that all the plans that you can think of how to make the world better, and we all have plans, man, if the government would just do this, if we could just do this, how many know that we know that if we were in control, we could make it all better? We think. But God says, if you will let me be, I really do have a plan for this world. And I'm going to tell you, it is glorious. God is not leaving this world to the brokenness of sin, but in Christ Jesus, he has already put in place the process of renewing all of creation. Not just our life, but all of creation is going to be made new through the redemption of Christ. And what a wonderful picture. And we just get glimpses of it throughout the Word of God. We get glimpses of the future where he says that there's going to come a time when you are going to rule and reign. You're not going to be up in heaven floating on clouds with harps. It says, no, I've created you to be beings that walk with me with purpose. We are going to have a creation, a society where we enjoy life, where we are productive and enjoy the creation of God on earth, doing things that we were made to do, enjoying life to its fullest. It's a place where there's no more tears, no more pain, no more frustration, no more death, no more sorrow, where love is not limited by all of our own brokennesses and all of our failures, but we can love one another fully. You see, that is God's plan, if we will see it. And so what God is saying is, all of a sudden, when he was transformed and touched and healed by God, he heard this sound. Who will stand with me? Who will go for me? Who will be part of this plan of making this world what it really can be? You see, that's the call of God. When you are truly touched and recreated by God, we cannot be healed without hearing the invitation, will you now partner with me? Because see, that's the whole goal. God has created us so that we can be a part of making everything new. What an awesome opportunity. What a privilege it is that God says, I'm not just doing this myself and you're just gonna watch. I want you to be a part. I want you to go with me because you are in my plan of making this world into the image that I desire it to be. And you see, that's where Isaiah said, oh, here am I, use me. Wow, what an opportunity to go and be a part and to be used by God to make his dream happen. You know, it would be like if you were a musician, the greatest band that you love, if they were to put out an invitation, who would like to come and play with us and travel with us and begin to apprentice with us? And if you love him, say, oh man, I'll go. If you were an athlete, it'd be like the greatest team that you love that we're just gonna bring you. And it doesn't matter what you think you are, you're chosen. You can come and be on the team and play with us and we'll put you in there. We need you. What an awesome opportunity. How many would say, yes, I wanna do that? And you'll pay me too, wow. Whatever your greatest desire, you can imagine this is what it is. When we begin to understand who God is, and it only happens when we get a glimpse of the glory of God and what he has planned for this world, what an awesome opportunity that he's saying, who will go for me? Who will be a part of this? The problem is, the only reason we are not willing to say, God, here am I, send me, use me, is because we don't really understand the awesomeness of his plan. And it's not just for us, but it's for people around us. But if we've been touched, if we have a glimpse of God, I'm gonna tell you, you have an opportunity to answer the call because God is still asking today, who will go for me? Who can I send? Who can be my representative? Who can begin to be the reflection of what I am doing in this world? And we have the opportunity of saying, God, here am I. Would you use me? And you don't have to worry about being the last one picked. You know how many of us say, ooh, 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 me, but we never get picked. That's not our God. See, here's the awesomeness of the cross. The awesomeness of the cross says, even the worst of you, I pick you. If you are willing to answer, no one gets turned down. There's a place for you in God's plan to reflect the glory of God in this world. Every single one of us, there's a place for you if you'll answer. But here's the case. Are we seeing? Are we willing to open up and see the awesome things that God could do through you? Here's the thing. God is looking for people who are willing. What does it mean to go? He says, who will go? Who can I send? What he's talking about is he needs people to begin to reflect the glory of God into this world. Because this world has slowly moved farther and farther away from him. And as it moves away from him, it takes people with it. And it begins to eliminate opportunities for God to do the same thing in them. And so God is looking for people to begin to stand in that gap. To go means to stand in the gap. Because you need to understand that there's a gap that needs to be filled. That's why he's calling us. You might say, well, can't God do this? Why would he need me? I'm going to tell you why he needs us is because the whole plan of God's new creation of life is about us. Now, what we do is not about us, but what God does is about us. And so for us to begin to become the glory of God, we need to stand in that gap because there's a gap around us. Everywhere we go, there are those that are separated from the love of God, and God does not desire that anyone should perish, but that they should all come to see and be a part of the glory of God. I want us to look at this verse in Ezekiel. And Ezekiel, very much so like Isaiah, had the same image of God. In fact, if you look in Ezekiel, the description, when Ezekiel had the same revelation, he saw God in a very similar way. And he saw the same seraphim, and he described him a little bit differently, but it was the same revelation that God gave him. And it was the same call that God gave Ezekiel for someone to go, for someone to be a part of this plan and to make it happen. This is how he spoke to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, this is what God says. I sought for a man among them who would build up the wall, who would stand in the breach, who would stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. You see, God looked at the world and he sees the brokenness, the sin that we have embraced. And the thing is, the more we embrace sin, we are embracing the consequence of that. Because we know that the wages of sin is death. It's not that God brings death. It is the wages of our own sin that brings death and hell and the grave and sickness and sorrow. So many people blame God, but it is not God at all because God desires nothing but life. But the problem is he looked for a man that would be willing to be his representative, to draw people to God, to pull them out of that consequence. And it says that he found no one. There's a gap that needs to be filled. When he says, who will go for me? What he's really asking is, who will simply begin to live out the life that I have given them everywhere they go. We are called to go. But what does that mean? That means to simply stand in the gap. That we are to be in this world lights of hope, lights of compassion. We are to be lights of holiness. That at some point we decide, I'm not going to live the same way as the rest of the people in this world. I need to stand in the gap. I will be a person of integrity. I will be a person that will say, my life will stand for something. You see, that's a person who stands in the gap, who begins to shine in this world. Even if people ridicule me, even if people begin to put me down, in love, I will choose righteousness over self-seeking pleasure. I will choose to be a person who reflects the glory of God even in the midst of the darkness. See, too many times we just stay quiet and we just blend into the darkness. God is looking for someone who doesn't just believe in God in their heart and I'm a Christian and I go to church, but they're looking for someone to stand up and not to be, look at me, I'm self-righteous and you're nothing. That's not what it means to stand in the gap. It means to be in compassion, to show someone the way, that you don't have to live that way, that there is peace and joy in right choices, that I don't have to give in to the alcohol and the drugs and the immorality and the sexual pleasure, but that I can be simply a beacon of life and joy and fun. That there is life in simply choosing God. You see, there needs to be a representation of the life of God in the world. There's a gap that needs to be filled. Are we willing to see what God offers? And it's easy to stand in the gap when we see the glory of God's plan and purpose. You see, it's easy to say no to $1 million when you have $1 billion. Would that make sense? But right now, we think that we have nothing, so for us, it's hard to say no to $1 million. It's hard to say no to that pleasure that the world offers. But you know why? It's only because you have not entered into the pleasure that God offers. Because God offers so much more. He gives you an identity. You are a child of God. And there is pleasure in following God. It is not boring, and you can still enjoy the things of this world without choosing to go down the path of destruction. You see, that's where we need to begin to be that example and that symbol for the world. Are we willing to stand in the gap and be people that take joy and express that? But it's not just being people of integrity in the world. It's not just going out in the world and being an example of morality and being an example of God's love. But in standing in the gap, it's not just being a reflection and saying, look at me, and hopefully that they'll follow you. But it's also being proactive that we begin to actually touch other people. It's one thing to stand in the gap, but it's another thing to grab someone who's drowning. And this is what he says. He says there are people that not only do they need to see a reflection of God, there are people that need a lighthouse, that they can see the light and the light draws them. But you know, sometimes we need to do more than just be a lighthouse. Sometimes we need to get out of the tower, go down to the beach, and pull people out of the water. And so God is looking for people that will go and touch those that are in need. Because there's not only a gap to be filled, but there are people that need to be championed. See, there are people that are just looking for someone to be a champion. You might say, I'm not a champion for people. But yes, you are. Because you are filled with the very Spirit of God. God has touched you with a coal from the altar. Do you realize how powerful you are if you are saved and redeemed by God? You have been given the ability to be a champion for those that are drowning and hurting in this life. And it's not by being some superhero. It's by being someone who cares. It's by being someone who touches and takes time and simply shares the love of God. Not just to feed the hungry, but to bring them to God. See, now, a lot of times people just look at service in the world, which that's good, but if it doesn't bring them to God, putting food in their stomach does not solve the problem, because the problem is not the physical hurt and frustration. It's not the prejudice of this world. It's not the unfairness of the political atmosphere. Those things are good, and you can support all of those causes, but those will never solve the issue, because the real issue behind all of those is the separation from God in their heart. And if we are going to have compassion on people, yes, we do meet their needs. Yes, we do touch those things, but in the midst of that, we say, let me offer you Jesus. You see, we need to be like Peter, James, and John, that as they went to the temple, they said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have I will give you in the name of Jesus. Stand up and walk. Are we willing to bring Jesus along with us as we show compassion, as we touch their needs? This is the cry of the psalmist in Psalm 94, verse 16. He says, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Now, this is a psalmist crying out. This is a person who has been afflicted and persecuted. He says, who's going to stand up for me? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? You see, this is the cry of the world. There are those that you work with. There's those in your neighborhood that on the outside put it all together, but on the inside they're saying, who's standing up for me? And we need to be people that say, I am here for you, and I can point you to someone who has made a difference. You see, that's what it means to stand in the gap, to say, here am I, send me, God. Let me be the person that lets the world know that there is someone standing up for them, and his name is Jesus. And we have the ability to begin to share that with those around us. See, here's the revelation that God continues to show Isaiah in chapter 58. He says this, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and what you bring to and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover them and not hide yourself from their own flesh? For then your light will break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. You see, when we begin to say, God, I'll go. I'll do the uncomfortable. I will get out of my comfort zone, and I will begin to care for others. Now, here's the problem. It's always going to be this way. The person that needs you most is going to be the person that you care about least. It's going to be someone who is maybe been annoying to you. It's someone that is dirty. It's someone that maybe in your mind, or maybe not just in your mind, in actuality, they don't deserve it. It's going to be people who have been told over and over again, and yet they just refuse to listen. And yet God says, is this not the fast that I've called? See, it's not our job to clean them up and to make them respond. Our job is simply to bring God into their life, to touch them, to cover them, to be there. That's why Jesus said, love your enemies, which is not easy. But he says, if we'll do that, if we will stand in the gap, if we will simply say, God, I will go. Now, understand, why are we going? We're not going because I am just moved by compassion. Now, that's easy. Many of us, we're moved by compassion when we see hurting children. You know, of course we'd be moved, And that should move us. But this is not our motivation. God is saying, will someone stand in the gap for us? Will someone touch the hurting and drowning, not because they need you, but because I am creating this plan, this kingdom? Will you do it for me? Will you do it because you have seen the glory of God? Because we have glimpsed who God is, will you then reach out to the hurting, not for them, but for me? And so because of that, we can go to the people who are our enemies, those who have maybe hurt us in the past, those that have been difficult to love. The only way we can do it is by keeping our eyes on God, not by looking at them. I mean, yes, we need to be motivated by compassion, but compassion is not the reason that we go to the world. We go to the world because of our glimpse of God. I'm doing it for God. Now, it doesn't mean I'm callously looking at them saying, you're lucky I'm doing it for God, but come on. Then you're not really doing it for God because you have not glimpsed God, because God does put within us that compassion. It's kind of the chicken and the egg, but the thing that comes first is looking at God, and then God gives us that compassion so that even though we're doing it for God, I'm still filled with compassion for my brother and sister. Are we willing to see the injustice around us? And instead of condemn, are we willing to love? And see, the hardest thing for that is that includes the people who are causing the injustice. See, many of us, we take up these causes. Yeah, we're going to stand up for those that are being totally persecuted. I'm going to stand up for Black Lives Matter, and that's a good thing. But at the same time, that same plan that God has means that I'm going to have that same compassion. Ooh, that's hard for those. And I'm not talking about those that have been misrepresented, that they're not part of the problem. I'm talking about the people who are the problem. Do you have the same compassion for those who are the oppressors? Because you see, the plan of God to redeem this world means that he came to the sick, not just to the hurting. And the ones that are sick and need God are the oppressors. Do we love the oppressors as much as we love the oppressed? You see, we cannot separate those two. That is the heart of God that is willing to reach out to those. See, I see so many people, yeah, we want equality. I want to touch the poor. And so therefore we hate the rich. Well, that's wrong. We need to love the rich just as much, because if God would just begin to fill their heart, the answer is not to make everything equal. The answer is to put the compassion of God in all of us to where we care for one another. So I'm here not to set boundaries that we're just going to have compassion for those that are hurting. I want us to begin to see the plan of God, which is to reconcile all of us, that everyone is broken. I don't care whether you are red or blue. We need to stop this us against them. But it is all of us broken before God, and begin to stand in the gap for one another. Begin to pray and truly reach out to touch one another. Now, real quick, if we are going to stand in the gap, here's the thing. We need to understand that if we are going to be sent by God, here's what it means. To be sent means you have to leave. And this is the hardest thing. See, up to this point, I think we can get excited about that. Yeah, I want to stand in the gap for God. I want to be a part of God's plan. I want to see it. But then you have to understand, God says, who am I going to send? Well, if you are willing to stand, that means you have to leave. For us to be used by God, you've got to leave some things. Now, this brings it back. Oh, wait a second. There's a cost. There's a cost to become what God wants you. You may have to leave the things that you've been doing for you. For you to stand in the gap, to be a picture of compassion, to be a picture of integrity, and to be that holiness in this world, you might have to leave some areas. You may have to leave some things behind that are holding you back, that are not the testimony that God wants for us. You might say, we use this as a big excuse. Well, if I leave that place, then I can't touch those people. That's not the way. God will honor our obedience more than he will honor that excuse. You see, Abraham had to leave his home to bring blessing to his home. You see, the only way he was going to be blessing to his dad and the rest of his family was for him to leave. So we need to stop using that excuse that, oh, I'm being a blessing in this place. No, it's usually a selfish reason that we just don't want to leave. Everyone in the Bible that made a difference in the world had to leave. You had to make some hard choices. What is God calling you to leave? And I don't know what that is for you. But we need to be willing, if we are willing to say, here am I, send me, the question is, are you willing to leave? Are you willing to leave some things behind? Because if God's going to send us, we've got to leave. This is what Philippians says. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. You know what Paul's saying? I don't have anyone else but Timothy, because Timothy cares more about God than he does himself, and he's willing to leave. See, everyone else, Paul said, all the others that are, and he's talking about the people who are ministering with him, they only care about their own self, not the things that God wants. Now, they may love God, and we may love God, but all you're thinking about is your own schedule, your own comfort, your own convenience, and he's looking for some Timothys who are willing, that whenever Paul says, you go to Philippi, is willing to say, really? Okay. People that are willing to leave. But here's the thing, and this is an awesome promise, that when you leave, God meets you there. The very thing that's hard to say, God, here am I, use me. And God says, okay, leave. I got to leave that. Can't you just use me right here? I want you to leave. I want you to begin to follow me in these areas. And those areas, God will speak to you as you begin to just simply yield yourself to him. But here's the awesome thing. When you leave, God meets you there. And it brings us back around. You begin to see God even greater. God wants you to leave because as you leave, you get more of God. There are powerful things that happen when you leave for God. When you make decisions that are hard, when you make hard choices that seems like you're paying the price, you're not paying the price, you're actually getting more than what you thought. Because you never pay more than what God gives you. You've heard the saying, you can't outgive God. You cannot outgive God. You cannot out-sacrifice God. Because just when you think that you're giving a real sacrifice, I'm leaving this, God opens another door for you that you find that, wow, God, if I had seen that first, I would have left a long time ago. Because God meets us here. I love this scripture. And it's in the context of the land of Israel, who had stopped trusting God. And instead of trusting God and leaving and doing what God had said, they tried to do it themselves. And they did it in their own way. And in the midst of that, God reveals a principle that is true for us. And he says this in 2 Chronicles 16. Said, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. What a promise. If you will simply be willing to be loyal to God and choose to leave some things when he tells you, and maybe rearrange your life, and it may be difficult. But it says when you do that, God's just waiting to see that heart of loyalty. He's waiting to see the heart that loves God more than your own dream. He was waiting for someone who is willing to be loyal to God to see God's plan go forward more than your own plan go forward. Because when you do that, it says, then I will step in and I will show myself mighty on your behalf. What a great promise. That's a principle. That is always a principle. God is just waiting for someone to be loyal to him, and he will show up and do mighty things on your behalf. You know, all the times that we pray God to do stuff, the reason why he doesn't most times is because you're not loyal to him anyway. You're just asking him to do it because you want it. How many times are we just selfish and just want God to show up and we wonder why he doesn't? When he is praying, do you know his cry to us is like a prayer? He's calling for us to do things and we sure don't show up for him. And yet, if we will, he says he will show up for us. He will do mighty things. It is a great promise. So we close with this. If we will just answer the call, are we willing to say, God, here am I, use me? Because he's waiting. Who can go for me? Who can be a part of bringing this plan? If you have seen the glory of God, you will not reject this call. In fact, this is no question at all. If you have seen the Lord, if you have seen the glory of God and what he wants to do in your life, how can we not say, here am I, use me? We are not going to sit back and say, oh yeah, use them. Then you haven't seen God. And I just encourage you today to see the Lord. And many times by answering the call, even if you haven't seen him, by just trusting in faith and answering the call, then you will see him. See, that's the awesome thing. It brings it about that as you will answer the call, you will see him in a new way. So I want to encourage you. Will you answer the call today? Will you say, here am I, God, use me. God, how do you want to use me in the church? How do you want to use me at work? How do you want to use me in my school? Because there are students around me that I need to begin to stand in the gap. And every time I compromise myself, I'm not helping those around me. I'm just helping them slip farther and away from God. So God, help me to leave and to make choices and to stand in the gap for those around me. Here am I, send me. And if you will do that, I'm telling you, God is just waiting to show up on your behalf, to give you the glory of God, the beauty of his presence, the joy of life like you've never known it, to find the real purpose of who you are and your identity and why you were created. It comes when you say, God, here am I, use me. Send me for your purpose, not for mine, and he will do it.